Well, greetings this morning again in the King's name, Jesus. Now, if there was one of the president's daughters here, we would all probably have a bit of reverence on our hearts, especially in our minds. But if we're here as a child of the King, we have a seat way beyond that. I'd like to say this morning that yesterday I felt like I didn't fully get my heart conveyed. It's almost just still burning in me this morning. The need to pray and seek God's face. When people pray, things happen. Things change. We change. God moves. I'm not going to start over. Another subject today, another dear subject to me, constructive Bible reading. It's a very dear subject to me, just like praying. I put them right beside each other. And where you see both of these functioning the way they ought to in a Christian's life, you will see a Christian that just flourishes, that becomes very fruitful for God. You will see that. And my heart this morning is to have us all fully persuaded by the time we're done that this is so. And open our eyes a bit to see the possibilities of what we could do. And hopefully motivate us to go ahead and do it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, this morning, we're just so thankful that You've adopted us. Thank You for the blood. Thank You for salvation, that we can have our conscience cleansed. We can be forgiven from our sins, washed, made clean, and regenerated into a new creature. Thank You, Lord Jesus. And Lord, as we look at that calling of being regenerated children, sons and daughters of Yours, we pray, Lord, that this morning You would speak to our hearts, to how we can live lives that bring more glory to You, that walk worthy of that calling that You put on our lives. Would You open our eyes this morning, enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Give us eyesight, Lord. Give us eyes to have, God. Cause us, Lord, to be able to get some of that rich gold and buy it from You. Cleanse us and purge us. Guide our lives. Lord, I pray for the anointing of Your Spirit upon my heart this morning and for the ability to communicate Your truth to each one of these dear hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Constructive Bible reading, the very heart of it is inspiration for today that builds for the future. Something that inspires my heart today and builds my life for the future. Over the years, I've raised the question in my heart and in my mind, why are there some people that mature and grow and prosper and others do not? Here you have a young man that gets born again, he gets set free from sin, and then he just sits there. And you have another young man that gets born again, gets set free from sin, and he takes off running like he's running a race. Why is there a difference? Why is there a difference when God is no respecter of persons? When God will respond to each one of us exactly the same. Somewhere there has to be a difference. Well, I'm going to say one of them I shared with you yesterday, another one I shared with you Monday. But I'd like to share another one of those with you today that make the difference as to whether we take off running in our Christian life, running the race that is set before us, or whether we just sort of sit there and bob along on the water and float through life. There is a difference. Some people seem to just be on a plane. They're doing all right. They can survive on their own. Others, it's like a pump handle where you got to take a hold of it and constantly keep that handle on a going, because if you don't, why, it's going to die. And no more water's going to come. The Bible says that if we have Jesus in our heart, there should be rivers of living water coming out from us. We shouldn't need to be pumped. And, young person, we can always have an overflow. We can always have an overflow. And one thing that young people often think, they look at the preachers that get up here and they think, they must be above the clouds. It's all just clear sailing and no trials. I'd like to inform you that we're real people. And even if you get above the clouds, I don't know if you've had airplane rides or not, but I remember one coming back from California flying to Detroit. And we were above the clouds. I had a glass of water in my hand. And all of a sudden, I was trying to do everything I can to keep this glass of water from being all over me, because it was... And it was not some little plane. It's a 737 being ripped around. It's like, whew! So even if you're above the clouds, it's not smooth sailing always. What do? I'm going to go on anyway. I'm going to go on anyway. To be honest with you, yesterday I had one of those tests. I preached anyway. It didn't feel like it. But I did it anyway. It doesn't always come easy. That's the kind of Christians we're looking for, that'll go on. And I'd like to urge us today to lay a standard in our lives while we are young about Bible reading that will never leave us all the days of our life. That we can know assuredly all the days of our life, this is what I need to do to be close to God, to hear from God. This is what I need to do. I read an account here a number of months ago, and I can't remember all the details, but it had to do with a man, a missionary, that was close to God. And this evangelist went to share with this missionary, have this missionary share with him, and this missionary sat there, and he just started unfolding the book. I mean, one beautiful truth after another just rolled off of these pages. And finally, the evangelist looked at him and said, "Sir, how do you come up with all these beautiful truths?" Here's what he said. "I read my Bible on my knees before God, begging God to show me His way." And the beauty just come off of the page. And my friend, God is no respecter of person. God is no respecter of person. There is this problem that we have of forgetting. I can just about guarantee, if I would go through this crowd and ask you to tell me what you read in your Bible this morning, there's quite a few of you that would have a little bit of a stumbling problem to tell me. Let me comfort you just a little bit. You're not weird. So how do we deal with that? We absorb some of it. Some of it passes on by, and we tend to not get it. I'd like to give us an illustration. What I'm talking about. Constructive Bible reading I don't know if we have any Masons in here today or not, but if we do, a Mason knows that we don't lay hundreds of brick in one shot. We lay them one at a time. In fact, they have a line, and they line them up real nice and even with the line. They get spaced just right, they get pressed into place and set real good. Every brick gets some attention paid to it. And the next row comes, and it goes on top. And a whole building gets laid up that way, one brick at a time. And it can look like a very tedious, slow job. But they're constructing, aren't they? They're building. By the time they're done, there's a structure there that has totally changed its appearance. Now, I don't know if you can imagine being a Mason and laying four brick a day. Four brick a day. I'm trying to keep it where it's very reachable. I think most of us could handle that, laying four brick a day. But if we would take and lay four brick a day for 15 years, we would have a whole house, a good-sized house, bricked. And there'd be a structure there. People could see very clearly what you have done in the last 15 years. Now the first day or week might look very depressing. I'm not getting very far. But that is exactly what we need to do in our Bible reading. We need to constructively lay four brick a day. And my friend, if you will lay four brick a day for 15 years, there will be structure to your life, I promise you. I promise you there will be structure to your life. People will look at your life and know that young person is going somewhere. That Christian is an effective Christian for Jesus Christ. I guarantee you. You know, it's right in reach. It's right in reach if we can lay four brick a day. Constructive. If I could, I'd hang it there. I'll just move it a little bit. Each one getting snuggled into place, attention paid over it, and put in there to set up right, to build my life for Jesus Christ. I'd like to read a few verses in Hebrews chapter 5. Some very interesting verses. Hebrews chapter 5. I know Brother Rick probably talked about this a little bit. No, he didn't yet. He might talk about it tomorrow. I hope I don't spoil his thing, but Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10 says, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong drink, or strong meat, sorry. Here they should have been teachers. They should have been building their lives. And the writer here is saying, you should be mature, but you're still on milk. You should be teaching, and you're still being fed. Verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The mature ones that can take the strong meat are those that take their Bibles and use them and use them and use them and use them and use them. And they keep using them. And it causes them to mature. Their senses get exercised and they can think according to God's will and God's Word because they're using and handling the Word of God. Now again, I would like to say, to be effective, we can just go through the ritual of reading the Bible and it won't do a lot for us. But if we will surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives, and pray and seek His face that He would make us like Him. And then we open this book and we read it and we study it and we devour it and we devour it and we love it with a passion and we devour it some more. My friends, it will not be some dead book. It will not be. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Now, I would like to stir our hearts a little bit. Let's suppose that there's a young man that has an interest in a young lady. And he's pursuing this. He's attracted to her. And he's seeking God's will. He works through the proper channels. And it finally comes down to everything is clear and he's going to get to go to her house and they're going to have a meal together there with the family. And just very carefully stepping forward. There are a few things he's noticed about her. She's rather skinny, a little bit frail, and yet he's attracted to her. And he's feeling this is God's will. And he gets there and the table is all set. The plates are all in place. Everything is where it needs to be. And it's time for this meal. And they sit down. And the table is spread with everything on it. And they're going to have a meal together here. Of course, hearts are pumping a little bit. And after a bit, Mom comes and sets a bottle on this young lady's plate. And she's still on milk. And she's still on the bottle. Can you imagine what happened in that young man's heart? In fact, she's fairly big, so she needs some more. And this is polished up a bit. We got to keep her alive. And there he sits. And all afresh, he's wondering, is this God's will? The question is, how many of us are that for God? And what kind of a sinking feeling does Jesus have in His heart as He looks at His bride? Not even just on milk. It's got to be chocolate milk. I was tempted to get some strawberry or maybe some vanilla milkshake or something like that they have these days. It's all spiced up with all kinds of funny flavors. It's not even sincere milk anymore. But that's what the church is largely feasting on. And we're these skinny, frail Christians that don't get anywhere. Just surviving. Can you imagine a mother being all excited about this wonderful little baby she has? She just loves this little darling. How old is your baby? Oh, 5 years. Do you think she'd be excited? We know she wouldn't be excited. She'd be highly distressed. And yet, in our Christian life, we pedal right past that and don't think anything of it. It's important that we build a constructive life for Jesus Christ. still on milk only. We're to be sons of God. We're to be kings and priests in the kingdom of God. But still on milk. Not hardly. Not hardly. All right. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. I'd like to focus on milk a little bit. There is a right place for milk. First Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Then we're going to go into chapter 2 as well. Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Chapter 2. Wherefore lay aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings. And as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? That ye may grow thereby. That ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. One thing that you all know, a little baby, you give them milk. If it does what it's supposed to, it will strengthen their bodies. In months, they have doubled their weight. And they're growing. And mom is happy. She might say, oh, my baby's growing up so quickly, but she really is happy about it. She wants to see that little child grow. She likes to see those pudgy cheeks, that double chin, those round ball the whole way down to their toes. They love to see all that. They like to see them grow. And my young person, that is what the Word of God needs to do to us when we're first born again. We go open the Word and it should be like sincere milk that just makes us grow and grow and grow. I'm sure you've heard the testimony. My Bible's not the same anymore. Well, amen. What about a year later? Is the passion still there? Is the burning still in the soul? Are we now a one-year-old that's up and walking? And before you're two, they're running. In fact, sometimes at 8 and 9 months, they're trying to climb. We had one that walked at 9 and a half months. It was almost scary. But God wants us to grow and mature and get up and go. That's what He wants for our lives. And if we can set that as a standard for our life in our youth and never quit, be up and going and growing and running the race that He has set before us. A question that often comes up, how can I have more faith? I lack faith. Well, I'd like to also tell you, if you're saying that, likely you have your focus in the wrong place, because we shouldn't be looking at our faith. We should be looking at Jesus. But if you need more faith, the Bible tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we read how God moves and answers the cries of His people and meets the needs of His people in the Bible, how can we but believe that He'll do that for me? And thus, our faith grows. Well, secondly, I'd like to go on from milk. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, which was read last night. But I'd like to look at that verse today. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Here, a number of years ago, I had a message similar to this. And as I was studying, I decided I'm going to find something out. And I got on the phone and I started calling people that I saw God using and blessing their life, and they were fruitful for God. And I would call them and I asked them, can you share me with me what you do in your Bible reading? 80% of them were searching and digging and studying the Word very actively. 10% said, I need more of that in my life. I didn't take the time, but it would have been good for me to go back now, that's probably 8 or 10 years ago, and see how those lives came out and who came out where. Some of them I know right off are still doing the same thing. Still doing the same thing. But I can't remember all the names right off that I called. Isn't that interesting though? People that God uses are searching and digging through the Word of God, devouring it, putting focus on it. And a number of them even mentioned that it's important to be praying with it. I was focused on Bible reading, but that was just a part of it to them. And I agree with that very much. Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Don't study to be approved unto men, but be studied to be approved unto God. This word study means to use speed. That is to make effort. Be prompt. Be earnest. And if you, that's in the Strong's. If you look it up in the Vines, it's under diligence. Diligence. To hasten to do a thing. Exert oneself. Endeavor. And give diligence. It's a pressing into it. Study like a student that is determined, I'm going to pass the test at the end of the semester. Because there's a livelihood that I need to perform. There's a livelihood that I need to live out. There's something that I'm pressing for. And my friend, we have something to press for. To serve our God and to walk in His will for each one of our lives. Oh, to be able to grow and mature. So that we can be what He wants us to be. Study to show thyself approved unto God. One thing that I found as I went through my life was that it becomes important to see Scripture in Bible context. There's a lot of that happening today where things are all out of context. Pluck out a verse or even a half of a verse and make it say what I want it to say. Well, what is that context saying? Bible context as a whole and verse context within a chapter. An overview of the Bible. Being able to see the whole picture becomes important as we look at interpreting the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And if we have an overview of God's Word and God's will, we can rightly divide it. Now you might not be doing that at 6 months. I don't think we should be distressed if we're not. Remember, lay 4 brick a day for 15 years. And you'd be amazed at what will happen. Now I'd like to turn to the papers that I handed out. First of all, I want to look at daily inspiration. One that's very familiar is reading through Proverbs in a month. Some people even say reading the proverb of the day. And I think that's a good thing. It only takes one chapter a day to do that. Another one would be reading through Psalms in a month, which has 150 chapters, and it takes 5 chapters in Psalms a day to read through Psalms in a month. I would encourage you to do it sometime. It's pretty inspiring. And yet, often that's about the level where we want to quit. You know, a chapter a day in Proverbs, and maybe I'd take a month or so wise. Read through Psalms and just inspire my heart, you know. And I got to fill up this inspiration for today. and go forward. But remember, we're looking at constructive Bible reading that feeds me today and builds for the future.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 6 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear a menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.